Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Afghan Allies and Refugees press call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. Please note this call may be recorded. I will be standing by should you need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn today's conference over to Dan Gordon, Vice President of Strategic Communications at the National Immigration Forum. Please go ahead.
Thank you, April. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the National Immigration Forum press call on U.S. allies and refugees in Afghanistan. The scenes we have witnessed in Kabul the past 10 days underscore the danger to Afghan nationals who assisted the U.S., as well as the likelihood of an increase in Afghan refugees in coming months. Our Afghan allies who put their lives on the line to work with Americans have been at risk of violent retaliation from the Taliban for months. The U.S. must broaden its efforts to rescue and evacuate them amid the urgent danger they now face. American support for this effort spans the political spectrum. A CBS News YouGov poll over the weekend indicated that 79% of 2020 Trump voters and 76% of Republicans support the resettlement of our Afghan allies. Other nations around the world are questioning American leadership at this moment. Even at this late hour, a bold effort to support our Afghan allies would show the world that the United States does not abandon its allies. Furthermore, American leadership in Afghan refugee resettlement would encourage other nations to do their part. Today, I'm pleased to welcome four powerful voices to this call. Rick Ozzie Nelson is the former director of the Office of Combating Terrorism and a member of the National Security Council under President George W. Bush. He is also a veteran of the U.S. Navy and of the conflict in Afghanistan. Mile Green is president and CEO of World Relief. Chris Pulaski is president and CEO of Bethany Christian Services and has worked in Afghanistan in the past. And Dan Costin is assistant vice president of policy and advocacy here at the National Immigration Forum. We'll begin with Ozzie, who I should also mention is a leader on the Council on National Security and Immigration. Ozzie, please go ahead.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate the opportunity to be on this. As a Navy officer who served in Afghanistan, I witnessed firsthand, you know, what our Afghan allies sacrificed in pursuit of freedom and democracy and our vision for that we had with them and it for peaceful Afghanistan. The collapse of the government and what we're seeing these last few weeks has placed these allies at the center of a humanitarian crisis. We need to do a number of things to address this situation at hand. Again, a lot of things have transpired over the last 20 years to get us to this point. The important thing is we take the action now to support those allies. The first, we should continue to expand the perimeter to work outside the walls of the airport to get people through the gates. From what I understand, that the operation of evacuating people is working extremely well. 60,000 people have been evacuated to date, which is a remarkable number. But we still have people that are in Kabul, as well as the interior, that we need to make a path for. Along those lines, we need to create safe sites within Kabul where people can be helicoptered or transported by vehicle to the airport. And then if we can, ideally, we would have opportunities, specific times at regional airports in the interior of the country to get folks to KHI airport. These obviously will increase the risk of the operation, but our military is extremely good in crisis operations. This is what they're trained to do. As we can see what they've done the last couple of days, it's remarkable. As a member of the Council on National Security and Immigration, we have been asking the Biden administration to act swiftly to protect these Afghans who served alongside American service members, diplomats, and aid workers. And these requests have actually extended well into the Trump administration. As Dan pointed out, this is not a partisan issue. Americans want to help our Afghan allies. They want to find a way to resettle them. We have a moral obligation for our partners, and we have a moral obligation for our American troops who fought and sacrificed to defeat both Al-Qaeda and the Taliban in order to help these allies. We also have an obligation not only to those who served in the past, but we have an obligation to those who will serve in the future, whether it be in the military or the diplomatic corps or as an aid worker. The U.S. requires the support of locals to carry out all of its mission in every country in the world. And so we need to make sure that those, our friends and allies in other countries, know that America keeps its word so that we continue to partner with them to accomplish our full range of of security and aid objectives across the globe. If we don't do this, if we fail our allies in Afghanistan, we send a strong message to our friends and allies that we need to conduct these missions, that we may not be there. And that's not a message that we want to send. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you so much, Ozzy. Next, we'll hear from Mile Green, who is President and CEO of World Relief. Mile, please go ahead.
Thank you, Dan. First and foremost, I want to say that World Relief and our partners, we are praying for those in Afghanistan who now fear for their lives. We also believe it's important to use our voice and use our hands and the resources available to us to serve them. We believe strongly that the U.S. needs to use all of our immigration tools available for an emergency operation. This includes humanitarian parole so that we can get as many people out of Kabul as possible. I also want to note that, you know, as a resettlement agency that works with the local church and community partners, World Relief has welcomed thousands of Afghans to the U.S. in recent years, and we're ready and eager to welcome more. We're actually beginning to see many of these arrive in the recent days, and since the start of August, we've already welcomed 275 Afghan allies who have granted special immigrant visas. And so we're working with local communities in the U.S. to help connect them to long-established Afghan communities in many places, and these include Sacramento and Modesto and Seattle. We also have staff who are directly serving as part of the welcome team inside the U.S. military installations and carrying out some of those activities. And, you know, we see and hear firsthand from those that we're working with the importance of, you know, getting out additional people from Afghanistan. And so for months, we've really been advocating very clearly to the Biden administration to coordinate an evacuation to Guam or another third location where people with pending cases can be processed in safety. And we're really frustrated that the administration has had such a slow response in this. And so, you know, though it may be more challenging now than it would have been a few months ago, we believe strongly that the U.S. government has a moral obligation to ensure that we stand by these individuals who have really stood by us. And to abandon these individuals is simply not an option, even if that means maintaining the U.S. presence in Afghanistan beyond the arbitrary withdrawal date of August 31st. So we also need the administration to recognize that as we resettle these Afghan refugees and consider that part of the decision for the refugee ceiling for fiscal year 2022. And the administration has even more reason now than previously to ensure that ceiling is adequately increased and increased to include these Afghan refugees who are coming. And so We know that this is going to be a big year ahead, and we need to ensure that these Afghans who are arriving in this country are well cared for, have the resources that they need to thrive and succeed, integrate into society, and grow. And so World Relief, and we encourage other partners as well to continue using their voice to call on the Biden administration to ensure that all that are at risk for their service to the U.S. are evacuated out, even if that means going past this date of the 31st. We also have opportunities and are raising support for others to give financially to these efforts. And we are looking for, you know, communities to be welcoming to these individuals as they come. We need volunteers, donations of household materials, furniture, and even landlords who are willing to rent to these families in the midst of this housing shortage that we have in this country. And so we welcome those who are willing to stand with us in this effort to serve these individuals who have served us when they arrive in this country. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Mile. I'd now like to introduce Chris Pulaski, President and CEO of Bethany Christian Services. Chris, please go ahead.
Thanks, Dan. So, yep, I'm Chris Pulaski, the President and CEO of Bethany Christian Services. But for most of my career, I've worked in disaster response. More than two decades ago, I lived in Afghanistan as a humanitarian worker under the Taliban rule. I also lived and worked in Afghanistan after the Taliban fell and the Afghan people tasted freedom for the first time. I remained in close touch with many of my friends over in Afghanistan, friends who worked for the U.S. government, partnered with U.S. NGOs, and supported the U.S. mission in Afghanistan for two decades. So it grieves me that they and many of our allies may be left stranded. that Afghan citizens, especially women and girls, will lose their rights, that Christians and other religious minorities will face intense persecution, and that our nation wasn't better prepared to offer Afghan refugees a safe place to live. The U.S. government needs to prioritize the protection of our Afghan allies like it prioritized the withdrawal of U.S. forces. At Bethany Christian Services, our faith compels us not just to love our neighbors, but to love our neighbors as ourselves. So since 2015, Bethany has resettled hundreds of Afghan allies and refugees, including 65 children who came to the U.S. alone after losing their parents during the conflict. We are prepared to help out many more Afghans who are in danger because they help U.S. military or NGOs working over there. Given the chaos of what's happened on the ground, we are concerned that children could be separated from their parents and that unaccompanied children may arrive in the U.S. Bethany is prepared to help keep those children safe and work hard to reunite them with their families. Our church and community partners are preparing to. In fact, our phones have been ringing off the hooks, and they've been asking two questions. The community members have been calling, and they've been asking what they can do to help. And the second group that's been calling are members of the community from the Afghans who are desperately trying to help their loved ones find safety. I have faith in God who cares deeply about every person, and I'm praying for God's protection. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Our final speaker this morning is Dan Costin, Assistant Vice President of Policy and Advocacy here at the National Immigration Forum, who will talk about some of the immediate policy steps that we need to see and immediate actions. Dan, please go ahead.
Thank you, Dan. From the latest information that we're receiving, I'd like to highlight three areas that are immediate priorities. The first one I'm titling Deadline Extension. The U.S. must extend the evacuation beyond the August 31st deadline. Anything less would be disastrous. There are U.S. citizens, green card holders, and tens of thousands of Afghanis who have assisted the U.S. still on the ground and in need of evacuation. The reason why the U.S. military has set today as a deadline for the president to make a decision is because they will need several days just to draw down some of the 5,800 troops they have on the ground. And we do not want the military drawing down their forces before the evacuation is completed. The second priority is people flow. We must maintain the number of people who get inside the airport such that they can be processed and put on aircraft. If we're not going to get people from outside in through the gates, we must find ways to get them to the airport in other ways. And one other thing is, this is one of my greatest concerns, this whole concept of making sure that we have adequate people coming in to the airport. We must expand our military engagement beyond the walls of the Kabul airport. The military must be authorized to expand the perimeter at least around the gates, and they must make excursions into Kabul and into regional airports to get people out of the interior. And then lastly, third, resettlement resources. The Department of State through the Bureau of Population, Refugees, and Migration, as well as Department of Health and Human Services through the Office of Refugee Resettlement, must be provided with resources both for themselves and for their partners, be they resettlement agencies, child welfare agencies, or others, to hire the necessary staff and stockpile the resources to be able to welcome the thousands of people that are already beginning to arrive in the U.S. The private partners in these efforts have resettled tens of thousands of refugees every year and can do this, but their infrastructures have been reduced over the last several years given the record low number of refugee arrivals, and they need the resources up front to rapidly rebuild those infrastructures. Congress must authorize both PRM and ORR to provide all their respective services and assistance to those Afghan allies and allocate the necessary funding to do so. Thank you, and I'm happy to expound on anything that I've shared.
Thank you, Dan. April, I think we're ready for Q&A. Can you please explain how people can get in the queue?
At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone telephone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, that is star and one on your touchtone telephone. And we will pause a moment to allow questions to queue.
Great. Thank you, April. While we're waiting for questions, I will just reiterate that among the bipartisan support that we've seen for resettling our allies, we've seen really strong comments from many governors, from both parties, really. In fact, I've seen more from Republican governors than Democrats on this issue, which has been really good to see. Other elected officials have also spoken out from both parties. So what we're seeing is really hopefully a consensus that's forming around the need to resettle those who have helped us over the past two decades. April, do we have our first question?
We do not have any questions in queue. And if you would like to ask a question, that is star and one. We will pause another moment. And it does not appear that we have any questions over the phone.
Great. Thank you so much. Well, we'll figure that we answered all of the questions in the course of the conversation. Thank you all so much for joining, and we can close out at this time. Thank you so much.